Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 15th day of April, 2020. I'm so thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest who's one of my favorite guests, Dr. Latane C. Scott. She is a former Mormon who came to saving faith in the true Jesus Christ and true gospel of the true scriptures. She is an award-winning veteran of the Christian publishing industry, having written over 24 books and having earned a Ph.D. in biblical studies. Today we are going to be addressing mere coincidence versus God's providence, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Latane C. Scott.
Oh, what a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
And I want to give our listeners our email address right away if they have questions. It's chrisarnzen@gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N @gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And if you want to hear any of the previous interviews that we've conducted with Dr. Scott on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, if you go to Past Shows Podcast and click on that on ironsharpensironradio.com, and you will see a search engine, and you could type in the word, or the name, I should say, Latane, L-A-T-A-Y-N-E, and all of her interviews will come up, and including one where she gives her testimony of leaving Mormonism. In fact, she's done a couple, perhaps several, on that very issue. But today we are addressing mere coincidence versus God's providence. That theme came to mind when hearing your own story, things that you have just recently revealed to the public about your life with Dan and the trials you have gone through that you have never mentioned in public before. I'm assuming, since they're on YouTube, that you feel comfortable doing it to our audience as well. But because of the fact that many people, many Christians, fall into two extreme errors, I believe, when it comes to trials and difficult circumstances in their lives. On one extreme, you have those who believe that whatever happens in our lives, perhaps if you're talking about a Christian, they would say that it is just bad luck, it is coincidence, it's happenstance. There are things that are completely separate from God's activity. He almost becomes the God of the deists at that point, where he is standing far away or sitting on his throne far away, observing things that happen in our lives, and he has no part of them. And then you have the other extreme end, where you have Christians who either believe themselves or being told that whatever bad circumstances arise in their lives, it is a punishment or a chastisement from God. They are guilty of something, typically an unconfessed sin, and you have people who have added to their own misery of the trial they're experiencing a horrible guilt that may be compounded by the fact that they are not certain what it is exactly that God is chastising them or punishing them for. So you have those two extreme ends of the spectrum, and I believe that the Bible although obviously he does chastise those whom he loves. You know, if a person has been sexually promiscuous and they contract AIDS or some other disease, obviously that is a chastisement of God. And if they are a habitual smoker or involved in unhealthy activities and they get an illness, obviously that is in the same category. But unfortunately, we have dangerous folks out there, like those in the Word of Faith movement, who teach that anybody who is not healthy and wealthy is guilty of having a weak faith or guilty of unconfessed sin. But if you could pick up from there on how you see the differences between those two. And let me also just comment quickly. although I believe that the word coincidence is overused by people, I think that there can be such a thing in regard to the false meaning that we often import into things that arise in our lives. Let's say a woman has been longing to hear a invitation for a date from a man in her church, and she has been praying about this for years, and then all of a sudden she's sitting in a cafe sipping coffee, and the man walks in the door. So she's convinced that that is not just coincidence, that is definitely God's providence, that she is going to be asked out on a date and eventually marry that man. Now, obviously, that's absurd, that we should not immediately import our own conclusions or meanings behind things that happen in our lives. But at the same time, I believe that everything that happens, sparrows falling to the ground, and even as David said, that every page in his book were written before one of them came to be by God himself. I believe that God is intimately involved in everything that occurs in our lives. But perhaps you could pick up with your own thoughts on that, and then I want you to give your story about, it's somewhat of a riches to rags story about you and Dan and the trials that you have experienced.
Well, Chris, I'm so happy to be able to do this, and the video that you're referring to, it's on YouTube, and it's called Skin On, Skin In, the one that you watched that was my story.
Right.
And I started off by saying that one of my favorite stories is about a little boy that was afraid, and his mom prayed with him and read him Psalm 91 and told him that the angels would watch over him. He didn't need to be afraid to go to sleep. And he came in and told his mom, angels are fine, but I need someone with skin on.
Right.
And I was encouraged to make these videos, not because I liked making videos. I didn't know anything about them. I'd never made one before. But because I felt that people needed in this very unsettled time to be able to have something to hold on to from Scripture and that see that someone who had held on to it could encourage them. And so all these things are triadic. You know, there's not just the intersections of things on this earth. They gain meaning when God intersects with them, when he is involved, when it's you and the circumstance and him. And in Malachi chapter 3, there's this wonderful verse that I just love, this passage, where people are discouraged, just like many people are right now, and they are saying to one another, it's futile to serve God. In other words, it doesn't make any difference whether you serve him or not. You know, everybody's in the same soup. And I think a lot of Christians feel that way, especially with this virus that, you know, we're all being mowed down by it. But in Malachi chapter 3, there are a group of people who are in a similar circumstance where you couldn't really always clearly see the hand of God and be able to interpret what he was doing. And a bunch of people got together and talked together. And, Chris, that is exactly what's happening right now as people are listening to this program. We are doing what they did in Malachi chapter 3 because we are talking about the faithfulness of God. And it says in Malachi 3:16, those who feared the Lord talked to one another, and the Lord listened and heard. There's that third part. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord God Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you'll again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. So at this very moment, Chris, God is making a scroll of remembrance with you, Chris, and me, and anybody who's listening, and we're talking about the faithfulness of the Lord. He's making a scroll of remembrance right now and recording our faithful words, and I feel so privileged to be able to tell my story, not because we should ever base anything on the experience of someone else, but, you know, the story in the Bible, let not him boast who goes out with his armor on like he who comes back with it on. In other words, you come back from the battle. You still got your armor, and you still got your life. Then maybe you have something to say about the battle. Isn't that true?
Amen. Amen. And so tell us about how you were at one point enjoying with your husband Dan a life of relative wealth, and you had, in some senses, a carefree life, at least in regard to finances, and then things that you were not expecting. Just as we read in the scriptures that everything that we intend to do according to plans for the future, we are to pray in the Father's will, and we don't know what could arise in our lives in the future. But if you could tell us about this story, a somewhat sad story that turns into a very encouraging story.
Well, my husband and I had been married about almost 40 years, and we had been very blessed with two wonderful children, with my ministry, with his successful career as an insurance agent. His great contributions to our community here is, you know, helping to raise millions of dollars for charities in this area. His involvement with Christian education, both at the undergrad and grade school and high school level. I mean, he was on the board of directors of a Christian college, of Christian schools. So we were blessed with God to be able to use our resources to bless other people, and also to for Dan to, has a charming personality, to help raise money for charitable causes. And we had a beautiful 4,000 square foot house that we shared with our daughter and son-in-law, and you know, a four-car garage, a recreational vehicle, two cars, you know, lots of money in the 401k. I mean, Dan had just turned 60, and we were on the curve to a fulfilling retirement. And within 24 hours, on December 1st, 2011, Dan went from walking into a doctor's office to being intubated, unconscious, and paralyzed for months on end.
Wow.
And he got a disease that he had had once before, and he actually contracted a third time. He's kind of a medical marvel. It's called Guillain-Barré syndrome. And if you've ever had a flu shot, down in the fine print, it says that you acknowledge that you can get Guillain-Barré from having a flu shot. Well, Dan's Guillain-Barré was not from a flu shot, but it was catastrophic. It was the profoundly severe axonal Guillain-Barré, which means that his body attacked its own nerve cells and destroyed the outer lining of all of his nerve cells. And so, thank God, we had the foresight to have a will made that gave me power of attorney, financial and medical, so that I could oversee his care. And the first 6 weeks of this illness, I slept in the ICU with him and stayed there day and night, bathed there. It was my privilege to be there because I didn't want him to wake up and not have me there. Well, you know, as people are aware right now with the coronavirus and the uncertainty, bills go on. And so with the power of attorney I had, seeing that this was going to be a major and long-term illness, as it indeed turned out to be, when Dan woke up several months later, I'd sold the car, I'd sold his car, I'd sold the house, I'd sold the travel trailer, got rid of the dog for a while.
And what were his reactions to that?
Well, once he was able to understand, you know, with that kind of neurological damage, it was a while before we could actually, I mean, into a year or two before we could actually communicate.
Oh, wow.
He was proud of me. I mean, we could communicate, but where he could actually process things. I mean, his deficits were enormous, enormous. But he was proud of me because that is what we had set that up for, so that I could speak for him medically and so that I could dispose of our assets. But we went from being very, very wealthy people with big bank accounts and lots of stuff to now, almost 9 years later, about $6 million worth of medical bills. His care has been enormous during this time. And the 401k disappeared, the savings accounts disappeared, all of that. And I'm saying that not because I like talking about my finances publicly, but there are people listening today that are afraid of that kind of catastrophic loss because of an illness, this coronavirus. And so I do know what it feels like, you know. And I do know what it feels like, you know, to use only the leftovers of hospital shampoo and soap for an extended period of time, to have friends cut your hair. But I felt God's great presence and blessing through all of this. You mentioned being punished. You know, the Lord disciplines. He can discipline without punishing.
Yes,
it says in Hebrews, it says that the Lord disciplines those he loves, and you should treat it as sonship. And I would tell Dan, when he was in a coma, I would lean over him and say to him, Dan, you did nothing to deserve this. You didn't drink. You didn't smoke. You weren't drunk driving. You weren't gambling. You weren't using drugs. This is something that has happened because the Lord is our master and our supervisor. He's going to bring good through this. We're going to see his hand in this. But meanwhile, I will stay with you. I will not leave you. And so I got to mirror for Dan. I had the privilege of mirroring for Dan the role of God who promises us, you know, that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. And so I want your listeners to know that you can face this kind of catastrophic loss, but if you have the Lord and his body of believers, I mean, people have been astonished at our church, the Mountainside Church of Christ, which has helped in any way you can possibly think, and the many generous and kind friends who, when they saw an enormous thing this was going to be, you know, he will never completely recover from it. He right now is in a $64,000 wheelchair paid for by Medicaid, for which we're very grateful. But the costs are ongoing, and I have not done without a single meal. I have not lost my dignity. I've had clothes to wear. I've had friends and family help me through this. My mother, who just passed away last week, and my brother paid for all my groceries for years.
My condolences. I did not know about your mom's passing.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, she passed away very suddenly a little over a week ago. But triumphantly, she was a believer. And
hallelujah.
Even in this very difficult circumstances, I was able to hold her in my arms as she died in the hospital. A great privilege, great privilege.
Yes, my mom died in my arms in our living room, in a hospital bed in our living room. And I was able to sing to her Amazing Grace, which became her favorite song.
Aww.
And she kissed me on the cheek, and she went home to glory.
Well, we have those precious memories. You know, we have those precious memories. And because she was a believer, it was triumphant. When the doctor came in to pronounce her passing, I told him, he walked in the room, I said, you are looking at two triumphant people. My mother is triumphant because she has gone home to her Lord that she served, and I'm triumphant because I got to help her. So, yes, Chris, I didn't know we shared that. That is a wonderful thing. But back to my point is you can lose everything. And there are people right now that are listening that are afraid, I'm going to lose everything. And I can say to you, you might. That's not what it's all about. What it's all about is the maintenance of your faith through all these things. And in 1 Peter 1, 6 through 9, if you don't mind me reading a scripture, is that okay?
Oh, of course.
Let me get over here to it. And I laughingly say often when I'm taking the time to actually look up a scripture that I would not have remained a Mormon for as long as I had if I looked up scriptures that people quoted to me and saw if they really said
right.
what they would say.
Right. While you're looking it up, I'm going to give our email address again, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, city and state and country of residence, and only remain anonymous if it's a personal and private matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Peter was talking to people, Christians of the first century, about trials. And he says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Hallelujah.
Though you haven't seen him, you love him. Even though you don't see him now, you believe in him. And you're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy because you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And I just say hallelujah, because we cannot evaluate our experiences, Chris, on the basis of how they make us feel. That's always a mistake. We have to evaluate our experiences on the basis of the character of God, who supervises and superintends every single trial that comes our way. You know, he's every time we say something faithful about him, that I hear that divine pen scratching out our names and the dates on a scroll in heaven, because we're talking about him. We're glorifying him.
And doesn't that obliterate the common notion of coincidence about happenstance, when these are things
mm-hmm.
that God intended, as your text that you read?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and in Hebrews it says the same thing, if you don't mind me reading that one in Hebrews chapter 12, it's even more specific, I think, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. And this is a verse that I shouldn't even have to look it up. I have memorized this, and I say this to myself all the time. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Well, I mean, that's like a no-brainer, of course. You know, it doesn't
right.
feel good. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Our trials are a training ground where we get to express our faith in God. You know, when I first became a Christian after leaving the Mormon Church, I thought to myself, well, I would have loved to have lived in the first century where I could, you know, be in the Colosseum and give my life for Jesus. And Chris, as you know, I actually wrote about that scenario in my book, A Conspiracy of Breath, about the early Christians.
Right.
But I thought, couldn't I do that? But I get to do that every day by this training ground that God has put me in. The more unpleasant the circumstance, as long as I know, as you pointed out, that I haven't brought this on myself, you know, that I didn't I didn't make this happen, just as Dan didn't make his Guillaume-Barre happen. As long as I can be assured in my heart that I'm not being turned aside from sin, then I am being trained in this, and I'll have that harvest of righteousness. Well, you don't harvest your crop when you plant it. You don't harvest it while you're watering it. It takes time. And so it says later on it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it.
By the way, you and I have different prayer lives, because I very often have prayed, I thank God I was not born in the first century and fed to lions in the arena, in the Colosseum.
Well, we all have our own arenas and Colosseums.
Right. That's right.
And it may be whether or not we choose to acknowledge his name before people or we just kind of hide our faces and mumble something else. It may be whether or not we're honest in our business dealings when we wear the name of Christ. It may be whether or not we choose to stick our neck out in the name of Christ to someone else. You know, the panhandler, if we say to him, I'm doing this because of Jesus. You know, I'm doing this because of my Lord.
By the way, I'm sorry, finish that thought. I was just going to read a question from a listener, but go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, says, Chris, when you were talking about the extreme differences of those believing either in coincidence or in being punished by God for everything that inflicts them, you forgot to mention a key factor believed by many Word of Faith people, that all ill that comes upon Christians comes from the devil himself. That's a very good point. I did not mention that, and that is very true, that the Word of Faith teachers believe that any kind of uncomfortable thing or tragedy that occurs in your life does come from Satan himself, and they believe that God has nothing to do with it if you're a faithful Christian, and that is, I think, a heresy. Although, I believe that with God's permission, just as with the trials that Job went through, Satan does assault humans and Christians alike, meaning non-believers and Christians alike. He does assault us, but he can never do so without the permission of God, which sounds like a strange thing, but it's a very biblical thing that we see in the book of Job. Is that not right?
Well, I would agree with that, and going back to Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews said, you've forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, nor lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son.
Amen. Well, thank you very much, BB, for sending in that question, and please continue spreading the word about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and contributing with your questions to the program. And we have to go to our first break. If you have a question, please send it in to chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Latane C. Scott on coincidence versus providence right after these messages from our sponsors.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, to hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours, with a little less than 90 minutes to go, is Dr. Latine C. Scott, an award-winning veteran of the Christian publishing industry, having written over 24 books and having earned a PhD in biblical studies. We are addressing mere coincidence versus God's providence, and our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And Latine, it sounds like much of what we are discussing is reflected in a book of yours that I hope comes back into print in the very near future, Crisis Cruciform of Praise, Crucible of Praise.
Well, actually, you're not the first person who's mentioned that in the last few days. That book was about some of the medical issues that we went through with our daughter before Dan had his medical issues.
Yes.
And I'm about to sneeze, so if I just for a minute, if I sneeze, so. But yes, I am working actively toward getting that back into print and getting it into people's hands, because before Dan had this major medical issue, our daughter at age 8 developed a malignant tumor on her skull that destroyed part of her skull. And then 3 years later, she was at a friend's house swinging on a rope that broke and slammed the other side of her head into a brick wall.
Wow.
In the midst of this, my mother had a stroke. And so I wrote the book about how to activate I didn't have the language then, I do have the language now, how to activate our neural pathways in our brains to form praise and to get our minds to travel along these neural pathways of praise instead of discouragement or depression or other pathways that we sometimes carve out for ourselves.
Well, keep your eye out for it, folks. It may come back into print. In fact, I'm sure you could order a used copy on Amazon. It's Crisis
Absolutely.
Crucible of Praise, and that's by Dr. Latane C. Scott. And you could also see and hear Dr. Scott on YouTube. And I'm so glad that you're on YouTube, because I was able to listen to some of your devotionals and watch some of your devotionals on my television set rather than on my small phone.
So
it was good that I could watch it on a much larger screen.
Oh, wow.
And
go ahead. You know, I have another book which is in print, which actually takes many of the principles that are in Crisis Crucible of Praise, called The Hinge of Your History, The Phases of Faith. And with the based on the teachings of Dr. John Aller and Dr. J. Michael Strawn about triadic structure and about faith coming in phases, I was able to, with God's help, write this book that is extremely useful for someone who's going through a period of discouragement or doubt. It's not a personal book at all. I don't think I have hardly anything personal in it about my own life. It's based on the lives of Abraham and Sarah, and shows how this process, not a process, this sequence of phases of faith happen in everybody's life. Abraham and Sarah received great and wonderful promises about an heir and about land. And the further along in their lives they went, the more extravagant and lavish and specific the promises became, while at the same time, the less able their bodies were, and to the point of what we hear in Hebrews, impossibility to bear a child, in terms of especially Sarah. And if there's one thing I have learned that is more useful than any other concept to maintain my faith, Chris, it is that faith comes in phases, that you have the promises of God, but they are always followed by contradictions to those promises. Situations, circumstances, thoughts, people that directly oppose the promises and make it seem as if the promises cannot be fulfilled.
Well, as in Sarah's age, when she was promised that she would give birth to an heir of Abraham, and yet they obviously doubted it, and Sarah laughed.
Yes, exactly. But see, God's getting, as I said, more lavish and more specific in his promises, and yet they're looking down at these old bodies and thinking, yeah, right, you know. But it says that Abraham never wavered in unbelief concerning the promises of God. Very interesting Greek term there, Chris. The Greek says he didn't ever decide against the promises of God in unbelief. And it really, many times when we are in crisis or other things, we have to make a decision to believe the promises of God, to trust him, and to reject other systems of thought.
Now, why do you think he took the concubine into his bedroom if he did not waver in his faith on that?
Oh, he didn't waver in his faith that he was going to have an heir, but at that time, Sarah had not been identified as the mother. And so Sarah actually says to him, look, this isn't working. And implied,
right,
we both believe the promise. Let's help God out by getting this younger gal in here, and then we can participate in the promises of God. Of course, we saw how that worked. I mean, the struggles in the Middle East are still being played out over that one decision to take the wrong woman to bed, you know.
Right. And you, in fact, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you go.
I was just going to say that you brought up in one of your devotionals that when we are faced with decisions during a crisis, a trial, and we immediately gravitate towards the least uncomfortable route, it is typically the worst decision we could make.
You know, if there's anything this coronavirus quarantine has pointed out, it is that in a difficult situation, what is the most comfortable and way to avoid pain is not always the best thing. I mean, I think many of us laid around for the first week in our sweatpants and pajamas and watched movies, but the most comfortable and least painful thing resulted in pounds packed on our bodies and not feeling well, and, you know, a lot of other things, you know. So our American culture especially has almost deified the concept of escaping from pain or escaping from difficulty, you know, anything you can do to avoid pain or difficulty. And you know, again, going back to what God said in the Bible, no discipline seems pleasant at the time but painful, but later on it yields a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. So, again, we can't evaluate the rightness or the goodness, the essential rightness of a situation by how it makes us feel. You're going to feel bad when the Lord's disciplining you because it's supposed to feel bad. It's supposed to be a contrast to other circumstances. And yet we can look at that and say, what can we learn through this? What can we learn through this? One of the great examples of that is when our daughter was in the ICU after she had that closed-head concussion falling against the brick wall. It happened on a Friday night, and one of our son's friends was spending the night, and we ended up taking him to the hospital, just, you know, kind of gathering people up and following the ambulance and going to the hospital. And during the whole time that the doctor was trying to find out what was wrong with Celeste and why she was so ill, the two boys, these two 11-year-old boys, our son Ryan and his friend Stephen, are out in the waiting room speculating on all the good things that God was doing through this. And wasn't it great that this happened while we were in town and not on vacation? Wasn't it cool that the ambulance got her right here to a doctor? You know, wasn't it neat that that we're all together and we're not having to phone each other, you know, information? I mean, that's faithful. That's what God loves, is when people in trial talk about what he's doing good through it, when they assume the best of his character, when the primary purpose of their actions and their reactions is to show a unity with the purposes of God, and that brings righteousness and peace. That brings great reward.
Amen. We have a comment, actually, from CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York. And he says, I think an ideal quote that perfectly matches what you are discussing today is a quote from the great hymn writer John Newton, who penned Amazing Grace. And that sentence is, everything is necessary that God sends our way. Nothing can be necessary that he withholds. Amen. I agree with that 100%. Excellent.
Oh, I love that. I love that. I love that. And I'll tell you why this is an example of what I call redundancy. When Christians are together and they're thinking and God puts similar thoughts in their heads, I want to tell CJ, and that's who this was, right?
Yes.
Was it CJ?
Yeah, CJ from Lennon.
CJ, thank you for that comment, because one of the things I want to share with listeners is the truth that is in Matthew chapter 6, and it's very familiar to us, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, God knows what you need and all that. What that means is that if I prayed yesterday that God would give me what I needed, that when I got up this morning, what is in my path is what he gave me that I needed.
Amen.
That means my provision, that God is constantly throwing provision out in front of my path, whether it's provision of trial, whether it's provision of sustenance, whether it's provision of godly friends, whether it's provision of whatever, that if I pray, God, give me my daily bread and meet my needs, that when I get up the next morning, I have what I need. The definition of contentment, and that is why I am so content living in a little low-income, small place, driving an old car. I am utterly content because this is what God wanted for me and provided for me. And I just praise his name, glorify his name for taking care of me because he threw out in my path yesterday what I needed. And when I woke up this morning, I just stumbled across this provision. I'm so grateful to him.
Amen. I want to read that quote again because it's so good. By John Newton, the hymn writer of Amazing Grace and others. Everything is necessary that God sends our way. Nothing can be necessary that he withholds. That is
Amen.
And that perfectly intertwines with Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. And unfortunately, some people, some Christians, perhaps with good intentions, I think misuse that text and share that message of peace with unbelievers, and they cut the sentence in half. They just say, well, things work together for good. Well, that's not true unless you are the called of God, and you love God and are the called according to his purpose.
Oh, you know what that means is that we live in a different cause and effect system than the rest of the world.
Huh.
That means that we are all in the same circumstance, but God has promised to sun ergeo, work together, energize together every single event in our lives for our good because we have been called and because we love him. I used to tell my kids when they were in school, you can be sitting in a classroom and the same thing happened to every person in that classroom, that you, my child, my son, my daughter, you and your Christian friends, the same circumstance will hit you, but the effect on you will be different because you are called and he's going to energize things together for your good.
Amen.
Even though it looks like the same thing is happening to all of you. You're in a different cause and effect system.
Amen. Now, I believe that it is very appropriate and good to use that text in Romans 8:28 to evangelize the lost, but you have to use the whole quote in its context, the whole text in its context. And you use that to urge them to repent and believe upon Christ, knowing that whatever it is they are facing, even their past sins that have perhaps brought their lives to complete ruin, God will even use those things together for their good if they love God.
If they're called according to his purpose.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, we have to go to our middle break right now. The middle break is the longer than normal break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of our show because they have to, by FCC regulations, air their own public service announcements and other things that localize this show to Lake City, Florida. And while they do that, we air our own globally heard commercials. So I urge you to best use of this time by writing down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. And that means, subsequently, we will more than likely remain on the air for a longer future because we absolutely depend upon our advertisers to exist as a program. The funds that come in through the advertising are absolutely necessary. And so, therefore, please try to keep our advertisers happy and patronize them as much as possible. And if you can't patronize them, send them a letter or email them or call them and say, please keep supporting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We thank you so much for helping them remain on the air. Also use this time to write down questions for Dr. Latane C. Scott and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we will be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot.
Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting.
I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host, Chris Arnzen, and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship, and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind.
Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Thrive and Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life.
Lending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, every time you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com. You are helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air because they are a primary financial supporter of this program. Their advertising dollars are necessary for us to exist, and barring a miracle from God, we would go off the air should they completely cancel their advertising contract. So please keep them happy, please keep them advertising, and please keep purchasing books from them at solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. And with all the reasons for gift giving coming up, like graduations and wedding anniversaries and birthdays, and if you want to think ahead, start buying your Christmas presents early, even Thanksgiving presents before that. Well, go to solid-ground-books.com and purchase your gifts there, not only for Christians that you know, but even for, perhaps even especially, for unbelievers, that the contents of these books might be used of God to mercifully and graciously lead them to eternal life. At solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. Please always tell them that you heard about Solid Ground Christian Books from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to our discussion with Dr. Latane C. Scott on mere coincidence versus God's providence, we just have some very important announcements to make. And the first is that tonight, Dr. Joe, or should I say Pastor Joe Jackowitz, dear friend of mine, who is the founder of First Love Radio, which live streams this program every day. Pastor Joe has his own program on this very live streaming network at firstloveradio.org, firstloveradio.org, and he is going to be conducting his weekly show every Wednesday night, Three Reasons to Hold Fast to Your Confession, with a special emphasis on Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. That's Three Reasons to Hold Your Confession on the Bible Talk program with Pastor Joe Jackowitz, which is heard tonight and every Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time and 7 p.m. Pacific. That's Bible Talk with Pastor Joe Jackowitz. Also, I want you to know that tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, we are going to be interviewing a friend, both of Dr. Latane C. Scott, my guest today, and myself, Dr. F. Legard Smith. It's been a while since Dr. Smith has been on the program, and I'm looking forward to our discussion with Dr. F. Legard Smith. That's going to be tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m. right here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The theme will be hoarding versus prudent preparation in times of panic. That's hoarding versus prudent preparation in times of panic. And Dr. F. Legard Smith was at one time a faculty member at Pepperdine University School of Law in Malibu, California. And he is an author of numerous books, and we're looking forward to his return to the program. And then I might as well mention that on Friday, Joe Jackowitz returns to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to our weekly coronavirus update, as we have been doing every Friday for quite some time. This will be, I believe, the fifth edition of that program on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And then coming up, I'll skip all the way to May 21st, since it is another mutual friend of Dr. Latane C. Scott and mine. Rosaria Butterfield will return to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to discuss how to be hospitable during an isolation crisis. So it'll be, I think, an interesting and very helpful program. And I want to thank Rosaria's husband, Kent Butterfield, for actually promoting today's interview with Dr. Latane C. Scott on his Facebook page. We really appreciate that very much. Pastor Kent Butterfield is pastor of First Reformed Presbyterian Church of Durham, North Carolina. And I'll give the church a plug. FirstRPCDurham.org. That's FirstRPCDurham, D-U-R-H-A-M.org. That's for the First Reformed Presbyterian Church of Durham, North Carolina. And also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, you love sharing the free downloadable MP3s with family, friends, and loved ones, you love the fact that we very often interview guests and cover topics that are not heard anywhere else in the media, You just look forward to this program every day. You love winning books that we give away when we are interviewing authors and our publishers are providing free copies of their books. Well, if you want our show to continue to exist, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion, and you could also mail in a check the old-fashioned way to the address that appears on your screen when you click ironsharpensironradio.com, when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is something that I dislike doing. I hate asking people for money, but we are in an urgent situation, especially since our two largest advertisers have put on hiatus further advertising due to the hysteria that has been created by the coronavirus pandemic, and businesses are being really horribly affected, including the two advertisers that I'm speaking of, and so therefore they had to put a temporary hold on advertising with us, and that has impacted us pretty badly financially. So if you can help us make up for that loss so we can remain on the air, I would really appreciate it. And I thank all of you who have been sending in checks. Some of you I've never heard from before, and some of you have been loyal supporters of the show ever since we launched in 2005. But thank you so much from the depths of my heart for your generosity and benevolence, especially perhaps during this time of trial that our world is going through, which includes the finances of many. And that reminds me, folks, please never, ever siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that, especially during this time when churches are hurting financially because we are not gathering as normal in a corporate assembly, and therefore many people have either put their tithing and offering on hold because they're not physically present, or many folks can't give to their church. In fact, their churches are helping them financially because they lost their livelihood. They've lost their jobs. They've, or at least had to temporarily close down their businesses. So please don't siphon money away from your church to give to Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. Please don't siphon money away from your family's dinner table either. Don't put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to us, because those two things are commands of Scripture: providing for your home and providing for your church. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of Scripture, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to do those two things, to obey those two commands, and you have money perhaps lying around gathering interest because you're not going to baseball games anymore, you're not going to other sporting events, you're not going to concerts, you're not going to the movies, you're not going to plays in the theater, you're not going out for an evening of fine dining anymore, at least right now. All these things that you used to do that cost a great deal of money, well, can you use some of that money from your recreational fund to help Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We would take as much of that as you want to give. We will take all of it if you want to give all of it. But please help us if indeed you love the show. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you want to advertise with us, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, and as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, we will certainly help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible. And now we are back with Dr. Latane C. Scott, award-winning author, and she is also a former Mormon who, by God's grace and mercy, came to believe in and embrace the true Jesus Christ of the true Scriptures by his true saving gospel. And we are delighted to have her back on the program. We are discussing mere coincidence versus God's providence. And our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we have such a anonymous question for you now, Dr. Scott. I am having difficulty understanding the true meaning of one of the Ten Commandments, to honor thy father and mother, in light of the fact that I was horribly abused by my ex-spouse, and therefore it is difficult to have my children honor him, even though I know that they must to some degree. But what does that actually entail? Do we ask of our children to act as if their father had done nothing wrong, etc.? It is a difficult problem for me, and it also is a difficult problem for me to forgive him, especially since he does not express any admission of guilt nor a desire to be forgiven.
That hits really close to home, Chris, because my own father was violent and mentally ill. And when I answer that question, I'm answering out of a great deal of empathy for the person who wrote, because there are people who don't, by their lives, deserve respect. There are people who, because of their lives, you can't continue to have a relationship with, which the reader or the listener certainly is in that position. But I'll tell you what other people have said to me about my father, which has been very helpful to me. They acknowledge the fact that because that person gave me life, my father gave me life, that was the avenue God chose to have my life come about. God is the giver of life. I realize people make decisions to come together in sexual union to produce bodies. I know that. But God gives life. And since he made that decision, we honor God by thanking him for anything we can think of that is good about that person. My father has now passed away. It is edifying and helpful to me when someone says, I thank God for your father because he gave you life. It is edifying and glorifies God when I say something like, I do have a few good memories of my father, and I try to think about those good memories. Another thing, and again, this is from such a personal question, but from the point of view of someone who no longer has the opportunity or ability to relate to my father because he's gone, it gives me an enormous amount of sobriety about the importance of this earth life. Now is the day for salvation. Now is the day that decisions have to be made. I put my father and other people who have passed on in the hands of a God who is both just and merciful. Because each of us has that end, each of us will die. Each of us will go before the Father in judgment. Each person we meet and interact with or marry or divorce will have the same end eventually. We all will meet God before the judgment throne. I choose, and again, the person is asking for advice, I choose to use that as a stern warning about the seriousness of sin and the importance of this moment, this day, to show faith, to show action. And as is so difficult to do, to snatch someone back from the flames if you have that ability. We don't always have that ability when someone's alive. Someone may not listen to us. They may not respond to us in the way that we want them to. But our conscience, we have at least the salve on our conscience that we tried. Having been the child in the scenario that your listener is talking about, it's better, I guess, I would have been better served not to know a lot of things that I knew about my dad. Children can accept things as inexplicable because a great deal of the world is inexplicable to them. And a parent can say, I choose to look at this good thing and remember this good thing while understanding that we can't have a relationship with that person. I hope that helps, because that is deeply personal to me and very painful, as I'm sure it is for your listener.
Amen. And obviously, the command to honor thy father and mother does not mean that we are to do something that God forbids, and that is lying. We're not to candy coat anything. We're not to act as if something doesn't exist when this person, especially if they are an unrepentant individual, by our silence may continue to seriously harm other people's lives. I think that obviously with the counsel of one's own elders in their church, the way that they respond to these things, obviously we're not to do evil to our enemies. We're supposed to love and pray for our enemies. So that would include a parent who has done horrible things to you and may be continuing to do so, or to a spouse or someone like that. And so we are to pray for them. We are to show them love, but showing love is also telling them to repent, commanding them to repent. That is the best thing for them, to repent. Even though being told to repent is an unpleasant thing, a hurtful thing, being obedient to God and being someone who loves another person, who is looking out for their best, sometimes means doing things that hurt them. Am I not right, Latane?
I agree 100%. If we don't operate on our feelings, but rather on God's commands, we're protected. He protects our hearts and our minds if we obey Him. And He takes the brunt. God takes the brunt of these things. Again, it's Romans 8:28. If we love Him and we're called according to His purpose and we obey His commands, then He becomes our protector. He becomes our helper. Now, of course, you know, one of the books, as you know, Chris, that I have co-written with another author about sexual predators, there are certain situations where you have to keep a child away from an adult.
Yes, that's right. Dr. Beth Robinson, correct?
Yes, yes. You have to keep, you have to be proactive in those things. I didn't get the sense that your listener was talking about an extreme like that. I got the sense that this is an unrepentant person who is who has damaged the family, but not in that way. So I don't want to hedge on that, but you know, sexual offenders are a special case, and a lot of the rules of compassion and other things are only appropriate when they protect the child who can't protect himself or herself.
You know, one of the things that you brought up in one of your devotionals was how the truths we are discussing today, some of them are brought up and seen clearly in the account of Joseph in the Old Testament after his jealous brothers beat him, strip him, and throw him into a pit and then sell him into slavery. And then he later rises to power in Egypt, and his brothers are brought before him, and they're terrified. And Joseph puts them at ease, or at least attempts to put them at ease, by saying, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. Isn't this a clear picture of God's intimate involvement, even in the worst trials in our lives? But he means them for a different purpose. It's not that he is uninvolved. It's not that he was just watching these things happen from his throne in heaven as a passive observer. He has been always intimately involved in everything that we're going through, and in his providence brought them about to bring about a greater purpose.
There's a very interesting reference to Joseph in the Psalms. where it talks about when Joseph was in prison, that the word of the Lord tested Joseph. We don't think about God's word testing us. But Joseph was able to do what he did at the end of his life with his brothers to assure them that he wasn't going to take revenge on them for the bad things they'd done to him. He said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, for the salvation of many people.
Amen.
And the psalm says that the word of the Lord tested him. Joseph, sitting in a jail cell, repeatedly being thrown in a jail cell, you know, more than once, being brought up and then brought down, up and down in his life, Joseph had to sit there within his head with the promises of God that were manifested by these two dreams that he had about his brothers and his parents bowing down to him. That was what God showed him, and yet nothing could be further than the truth than him sitting in a jail cell, and the word of the Lord was testing him there. Phase one, promises. Phase two, contradiction to the promises. It's exactly what we're doing. And Chris, I'm so glad you brought up Joseph, because here's the truth of this. We are tested every day by the word. Will we believe what God said, or we can look at our own circumstances and say, I'm going to assess what's going on by what I see, or I'm going to assess what is going on by what God has told me about such situations. The word of the Lord tests us all, and only when you're able to get through that terrible circumstance, you can do what Joseph does further down the road. What you meant for evil, what you intended, doesn't make any difference, because God's sovereign purpose was so active that no matter what you meant to happen, God sooner or later moved together, ground together, you know, milled together the circumstances to bring good, not only for the individuals directly in the situation, but for generations of people afterwards.
And of course, the perfect example of that truth is the murder of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He did say that no one takes his life, but he lays it down willingly. But at the same time, God used to fulfill his prophesied and ordained act against his own son, which he always had intended to be the sole hope for the salvation of his people. He used the sinful and satanic and wicked acts of men to bring that about. Even when Judas betrayed him, the scriptures tell us that a devil entered him. And we have the torture of the perfect spotless lamb, the only sinless man on the face of the earth who ever lived and ever will live, not only being tortured verbally by those saying cruel and wicked things to him, but physically being whipped and beaten and spat upon, and then dying one of the most excruciating deaths imaginable to mankind on the cross, and on top of that, even worse than his physical fate, receiving upon himself the wrath from the Father that we as sinners deserve, that he did not deserve. And I love the phrase, the great exchange, because our sins were imputed to him, and his righteousness has been imputed to us in our salvation. But that is a perfect example, I think, of an ordained act of God that involved the most unjust and satanic and evil act in all history that was used for the benefit, the eternal benefit of countless men and women and children who turned to him in faith.
I'm reminded of what Stonewall Jackson once told some people. He said, you know, let us not take the counsel of our fears. The big difference that occurred to me as you were speaking, Chris, and I just so much appreciate what you said. As you were speaking, I thought, you know, the difference between you and me, as we dread something, as we fear something, is it's like it's this endless realm of possibilities of how things could go. Jesus, in that garden, praying, is there any other way? you know, and then saying, thy will be done, not mine. He knew what he was going to have to do. He knew this was going to end in death. He knew this was going to be, at least temporarily, a disaster. You know, total loss. You know, humiliation, as you said. Being stuck up on a pole, literally, to die. I'm so grateful to him that while I am sitting here percolating in this could happen and that could happen, you know, in my fears, he knew the route it was going to take. He said, you know, if there's another way, let's talk about it. But he knew the route it was going to take. And he entered into that knowing that the worst really would happen to him and that he had to, as it says in one of my other faithful, my favorite scriptures, let those who suffer according to God's will commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. It all comes back to the character of God. If you trust Him, if you believe He is who He says He is, then you can do even what Jesus did. Throw yourself on His mercy and trust Him to bring you through, and He always, always will.
Amen. And we are now going to our final break. It's going to be much more brief than the last one. If you intend to write in a question, do it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Dr. Latane C. Scott right after these messages from our sponsors. Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005,
the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
The coronavirus pandemic has rapidly changed our way of life, bringing so many uncertainties. When will it end? Why do disasters like this happen? How do we deal with anxiety, fear, and the like? Well, join us each Friday on the program Iron Sharpens Iron with your host Chris Arnzen and Pastor Joe Jackowitz as they explore God's Word for answers to this and other of life's related issues. Tune in at firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. That's Iron Sharpens Iron on firstloveradio.org. Fridays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. To hear what the Bible has to say about pandemics and how we should respond.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, you can call cvbbs.com at their toll-free number as well, 800-656-0231, 800-656-0231. Please only call that number Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It's the only times and days that that phone line is manned and there is no voicemail. So that's 800-656-0231, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Always tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnes and an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And one more tip, if you could please, before you go to cvbbs.com, which is a book distributor, go to our other advertiser's website, who is a publisher, the one you've heard before, solid-ground-books.com. solid-ground-books.com. Make a long list of books that you want to purchase from Solid Ground Christian Books, and then order them at cvbbs.com. This way you keep both of our advertisers happy. None of them, or neither of them, is hurt by you ordering from CVBBS. Obviously, CVBBS isn't, but Solid Ground Christian Books isn't hurt because the CVBBS has to purchase the books from them. And since Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and CVBBS is a distributor, they are two different spokes in the wheel there. You're not going to be, they're not competitors, in other words. So make them both happy in that way. We are now back with Dr. Latane C. Scott for the final segment of our interview. And we have John in Bangor, Maine, who has a very interesting question. He said, does not viewing the trials we go through as solely being I have to enlarge the email here. I'm sorry, the font is very small. Here we go. That the source is only Satan himself and God has nothing to do with it. Does that not make it appear as if Satan is more powerful than God, at least during those times, and that Satan's will trumps God's if we remove God completely from these trials and circumstances? I agree with that statement. I don't know. How do you respond to that, Latane?
I do too. And Chris, you had mentioned earlier that the book of Job shows us that God gives permission to Satan to do something. And of course, the one giving permission is always more powerful than the one being permitted. Is that not true?
Great. Thank you, John in Bangor, Maine. And we have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who has something similar to say, but from the other end of the spectrum. Those who say that the trials that come into our lives have nothing to do with God but are a pure happenstance or coincidence, don't they import meaninglessness into these trials that we face rather than trials that have been designed lovingly by a God who truly cares for us, who knows that these things will bring about the best in us and be the best for us?
I like what he said, and it occurred to me that maybe another way, maybe not better, but another way of saying that is that God crafts individually trials for us. If he is, you know, if he's the one that knows every hair on our heads, if he's the one who knows the date of our sin, if he knows us inside and out, as David said, if there's nothing in us hidden from him, then why would such a loving father not individualize things in such a way to help us grow, to help us to get the maximum benefit? I often say that God is a very economical God. He does exactly what is needed in any situation to promote our well-being, to return us to him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is a God who cares so intimately for us that he would not treat each of us just like he treats our neighbor. He gave us individual fingerprints. He'll give us individual trials.
Yeah, and the listener touched on something that this has brought me the greatest comfort through the worst of my trials in my own life, is knowing that there is a purpose. And the listener was talking about, if we say these things come by coincidence or happenstance and not from the very hand of God, they are meaningless. There's, you know, if the loved one dies, it is absolutely has no purpose, has no meaning. And therefore, that brings about much greater misery. I think sometimes people trying to defend God and defend his character in ignorance, in a way that doesn't reflect the truths of the scripture, they wind up doing more harm to the integrity of God than doing him any service, because they really diminish his omniscience, his omnipotence, and it really is not a biblical understanding. As I mentioned earlier on in the program, it is more of a deist understanding of who God is.
Mm-hmm. I agree, Chris. That's very perceptive.
Well, I want to make sure, before I go to any more listener questions, that you at least have 4 or 5 minutes to distill and to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Would you like for me to do that now?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. The most important thing I've learned is that faith comes in phases. We have the promises of God, but they are always followed by a contradiction to those promises, and that's where our testing takes place. And the book of James says, consider it all joy when you face many kinds of trials. The Greek word is multicolored. The trials are multicolored. Chris, what you go through is colored differently than my trial. My trial of 20 years ago is colored differently from this trial. In each of these contradictions to the promises of God, we have the privilege of rising up, showing our joy and our confidence in the Lord, that we know we're being treated as sons and daughters. We know that he is doing this only for our good. We know that he doesn't have it in his nature to harm us, to try to hurt us, if we are called and if we love him. So I want everyone listening to hear in my voice, in my heart, how greatly I praise the God of my trials, how much I glorify his name, how grateful I am to him that he has honored me with trials. I am so grateful to him.
Yes, amen. And one thing that we have time to bring up, and I know that you're open to discussing this briefly, since we only have a little bit of time, but since I have interviewed you on this very subject before, Bart, you were almost on a human side of the spectrum. Obviously, God did not intend this before the foundation of the world, but you were almost a number that could have been listed amongst the casualties of murdered children in the womb, because your mom had considered having an abortion when she was pregnant with you.
I mentioned that my father was not a good man. I mean, he had some good characteristics, but he was not a good man, and his actions were not good, let's just put it that way. My mother, over 1,000 miles away from home, 19 years old when she became pregnant with me, she told me one time that if any abortion had been available to her, she would have spared a child growing up in that household, that kind of upbringing. She didn't want to abort. She wouldn't have wanted to abort me because she didn't love me. She would have wanted to abort me because she did love me. But God protected me in that, and I see in that the depth of unhappiness, the depth of misery she was in. But the truth in Hebrews is, it's appointed to a man or a woman once to die and in the judgment. This is the only life I had. If it had been cut short in the womb, that was my life. God has been gracious enough to allow me to live, allow me to praise his name, to glorify his name. He's given me privileges through these difficulties, and I'm so grateful to him.
Yes, so we thank God that that he intervened in that circumstance, and your mother had a change of heart, and that you have blessed the body of Christ through your gifts that he has given you. And I am just so thrilled that I have had the privilege of knowing you as a friend since the 1990s, and trust that friendship will continue into the future as long as we have breath in our lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see here. We have an anonymous listener who asks, one thing that I cannot find comfort in is fearing the eternal state of those whom I love who have passed without knowing Christ, and I continue to have terror and anxiety over my children right now because none of them are born-again believers in Christ. How do I overcome this sadness and this fear?
I understand that. I understand that. I comfort myself by knowing that they go before a God who is completely kind and completely loving and completely just. When they go before him, he makes the right decision. He knows the insides and the outsides of every heart, every motivation, every person. If exceptions are going to be made, they have to be made by God, not by us. So I rest in his character, the God of justice, who is kind and loving. Some things we can't do anything about. That's one of the realities of this earth life, that our people have human will. They will do what they want to do. They will be destructive. The only way I can keep myself from going crazy, as this person is describing, you know, with a great sorrow, is to remember that he is completely kind and completely just.
Amen. And that great text from the scriptures, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?
Do right, yes. Shall not the judges? Yes, Abraham to God. Abraham said that to God. He was reminding God that he knew that the judge of all the earth would do right. He will do right.
That is something that comforts me whenever I have faced or thought of similar circumstances. And also, we have to remember, unless we are physically present with someone when they die, we do not know with omniscience that that person did not come to faith in Christ during their last moments. Had it not been recorded in Scripture, and had the loved ones of one of those thieves on the cross, if he had family members that were gathered nearby, but if they had not been nearby, nor later read what happened there, they would have assumed, if they had faith of any kind, that that person was in hell. And that person, not long before he took his last breath, was saved by Christ himself. So when people have told me with certainty that their father's in hell, that their mother's in hell, that their children who have died prematurely are in hell, that kind of thing, I ask them, were you with them? And they say no. And I say, well, don't completely rule out the fact that if you have evangelized them and if you know that they have heard the gospel, you can't rule out what might have occurred moments before they left this earth. I mean, I'm not saying that we should have an overly emphasized trust in that kind of thing, but it's still a ray of hope.
No one knows what goes on underneath the closed eyelids of the dying person.
Amen.
No one knows.
Amen.
No one knows.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Latane C. Scott. And if anybody wants to find out more about her writings, and her other activities, go to latayne.com, LATAYNE.com. And you could also find her devotionals on YouTube, and just type in Latayne, L-A-T-A-Y-N-E, C. Scott. Latayne C. Scott, and you can find her videos of devotionals that she has created. And I look forward to your return to our program, Latayne.
And, thank you so much, Chris.
And I want everybody to remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.